All right, we'll call the committee to order, and let's see. Representative Simon, did you get a chance to read the minutes of May 4th?
I did, Mr. Chair, and I'll move them.
Representative Simon moves the minutes of May 4th. All those in any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. All right, we'll allow some nays. Representative Wagenius.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I would move the 11th National District Finance Division report by House File 3124, the second committee. Here.
All right, Representative Wagenius moves the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division report for House File 3124, the second committee, in Grossman. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Representative Wagenius.
I move House File 3124, the second committee, in Grossman, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Dill, would you like to present your bill?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The bill is commonly known as the Lands Bill. All of the provisions in the bill have been approved, or reviewed, I should say, and most have all been approved by the DNR. It's a bipartisan bill. It serves people across the state, and the bills brought forward in it are from representatives from both parties and the department, as also other organizations. For example, Department of Administration from time to time has property in the bill as well. There is one amendment, Mr. Chairman, a Wagenius amendment, that I think Representative Wagenius would like to move forward, and that would get the bill at least in the shape that I desire it to be in, notwithstanding other amendments.
Okay. Representative Wagenius, would
yes,
you?
I would move the amendment. It would be even more fun if I could find it.
The A-15 amendment, I believe?
The A-15 amendment, I have seen it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I thought it was the A-10 amendment.
Okay, let's see.
Mr. Chair, I think Representative Dill has been describing the lands bill, and Representative Wagenius moved the game and fish bill.
Got it.
So,
oh yes, that's true. I moved the game, game and fish bill. That's
the
first.
Run the game and fish bill. Run the game and fish bill.
Right. All right. It is.
We're fine. He just described.
If that is the case, then Mr. Chairman, I've now presented the lands bill, and we won't have to represent it when it is time to do so.
No, you don't.
The Game and Fish Bill is before us, House File 3124. The Game and Fish Bill has one finance provision in it. It comes from Representative Junkie's bill that is contained in here for two-line fishing. It has a money-raising aspect in the amount of, in FY11, $1,384,000, increasing up to $2,306,000 in the out biennium. It is solely to do with the sale of licenses, $10 for each license to get a two-line endorsement. Beyond that, I would answer questions. Mr. Chair, I have an amendment. Do you want to do the Wagenius amendment now?
Yes, the A-14, Representative Wagenius.
The A-14 is Representative Dill's amendment, but I will move Representative Dill's amendment, A-14. The Wagenius amendment goes to the lands bill.
Thank you. And the technical amendment, the A-14, is a technical amendment. It regards some language that we put in earlier regarding infestation of and the transportation of bait that is harvested and how the equipment is handled. For example, nets and things like that, so we don't spread that infestation to other waters. If someone netted in this lake and then moved it to another lake, it tells how that can or cannot be done.
Any discussion on the A-14 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Amendment adopted.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Howes, I believe, have his amendment to the Game and Fish Bill.
Representative Howes.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it's A-15. And what the amendment does, it says that if you've served in the armed forces, had basic training, and has training as a sniper, you do not have to take the required safety test for a big game license.
Any discussion on the Howes amendment? Representative Schmansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I just may ask a question of Representative Howes, is it just snipers or is it anyone who's had military weapons training that could qualify for this?
Representative Howes.
Mr. Chairman, someone who's had basic training is exempt from the field exercise part of the test. Someone that's taken sniper training does not have to have classroom. They don't do sound shots. They know their target, and it's pretty sensible not to have them go through this.
Any further discussion? Representative Dill, on this amendment?
I'm in fine with the amendment. I think the department will come up and give their opinion of the amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. Similar language was placed on Representative Wagenius's bill before we had a chance to look at it. We agree, we understand the concern about the shooting part of this exercise and the education, but our firearm safety class, actually there's language in the Senate language that changes it to a hunter education class. It contains more information on tree stand safety, for example, and things of that nature than firearms, than actual gun safety. So we'll be working with the author as this issue moves forward, try to figure out how to address that concern he has. But if you ever look at the class, and actually it's up online now as well, it focuses more on hunter safety, being lost in the woods, climbing up trees, things like that, than just firearm safety. So those are some concerns that came from our safety training office up in Camp Ripley. Thank you.
Any further discussion on this Howes amendment?
Well,
Representative Howes.
Just to clarify a little bit of the DNR, and I appreciate what they do, but my son-in-law took sniper training, and they dive out of a helicopter hanging onto a rope, and they go head first. They go head first so they can shoot their gun on the way down because the enemy's there. They climb trees. They crawl through swamps. They do all this stuff. I really think they could get up in a deer stand without breaking their neck. So I just wanted to add that. The rest of your program is wonderful, but I think if you're a trained sniper by the armed forces, you just don't need to go through all that and pay the $25.
Any further discussion on the Howes amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A-15 amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Amendment prevails. Representative Dill.
And Mr. Chairman, those are the amendments that I am aware of, and I have explained the physical ramifications of the bill.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor of the, let me get the right number, the file 3124 as amended, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Amendment prevails. Bill prevails. Thank you, Representative Dill. Let's see. Now we've got one more. This is House File 3051. Representative Wagenius.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division report for House File 3051, the Second Committee Engagement.
Representative Wagenius moves the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division report for House File 3051, the Second Committee Engagement. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Representative Wagenius.
I move House File 3051, the Second Committee Engrossment, be recommended pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Gill, would you like to present your bill?
Mr. Chairman, I previously presented the bill. There are two amendments, a Wagenius amendment and a Kiffmeyer amendment, that I am aware of.
Okay. Let's see if we can find those. Okay. Representative Wagenius, I believe you have the A-10 amendment.
I would like to move the A-10 amendment. It's more of a technical amendment, but it keeps a specific date by which sales need to be made and at an auction rate below assessed value. And so it's time limited, and that's what this amendment does. And I believe Representative Dill accepts the amendment.
Representative Wagenius moves the A10 amendment. Any discussion? Representative Dill?
Representative Wagenius and I worked out the language on the amendment.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of adopting the A10 amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Amendment adopted. And Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this amendment has to do with public sale requirements, and I have discussed this with, I mentioned this to Representative Dill, the language, the DNR, and I will work together. We'd like this to go on this bill, and then we may make some future adjustments to it. But there, the DNR is okay with this going on as is tonight, and then we'll work towards the future. The main thing here is that during these very difficult times when you have an auction, a public sale of land on people, it's hard to get financing. So this is more of an issue that has come up in the sense that people need to know that if they're not able to get financing and not able to complete the sale, that they need to know the costs that may be incurred if they can't complete the sale. So this amendment deals with information to the potential bidders on the estimate of those damages so that they go in, it's a consumer issue, so that they go in knowing what they're getting into. So I would move the A9 amendment.
All right. This is a Kiffmeyer amendment, the A9 amendment. Any discussion? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, I don't understand what you're asking for. Who's going to be helped by this?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Murphy, the potential buyer of the land would be helped by this.
So this is for...
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, so this is for land that DNR is selling?
That's correct.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And
Representative Dill.
Mr. Chairman, I did speak with the DNR and members on this, and this amendment, in my estimation, is something, the idea is a good idea. However, I just want to bring to the committee's attention, as it is written now, it will take additional work because it's not certain what expenses would actually be incurred by a person not following through on the sale, because you might have another bidder that is immediately ready to buy the property at the same sale, and that would be a very small amount. But you might have a situation where there was no second bidder or no one even interested in the property. It would have to be re-advertised, possibly even reappraised if a period of time passed before there was another auction, and so those expenses could be much higher. Now I see they've listed all the different types of costs, but they haven't listed the amount. So really, the amount would be a range. And so I think that's the area that there needs to be some additional work done before the bill actually gets to the House floor, or some language maybe that if it gets to a conference committee, we fix it in there.
Any further discussion on the A9 amendment? Representative Junkie.
Well, Representative Kiffmeyer, I don't know if you know the answers or not. You're adding language. Is it described somewhere else in law that these costs are included in the cost sale, or are they typically, like most real estate sales, just disclosed by the closing company or the law office that does the transaction, and that's typical for buyers anyway, and everyone that buys knows there's closing costs, but they're also negotiable closing costs. And are you now setting in law something that has not been in law before, describing all of these different costs that now someone has to pay that they weren't paying before? I mean, advertising costs, staff, all these typically in a real estate negotiation are negotiable items at closing between your attorney and my attorney or the closing companies, and or are all these costs described somewhere else in law and you're just pulling them over into this section on the public disclosure side of it?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Junkie. In this regard, previously the only thing in statute, to my understanding, and certainly DNR is here to answer your question maybe more thoroughly, is just simply damages, that they would have to pay damages. What is damages? And in some cases, in particular, as you mentioned, that if there is no second bidder and there is only one, then these damages can be substantial. You're exactly right, Representative Junkie, that in any other situation, the buyer would have fair notice of what those would be so they can make an informed decision going into it. But sometimes in this case, because damages is quite vague and it's open to that, that it can be quite substantial. And the buyer, or potential buyer, if they can't finish the sale, did not know that amount. And so it's just a fairness issue to them, as would be in any other transaction.
But, and Representative Mr. Junkie. Chair, thank you for that. I guess the line that I'm basically asking on then is 1.13. That would be assessed if a successful bidder fails to submit. So now you're assessing charges to someone that's in it's a negotiated transaction. Any of us who buy land, whether it's from the state or anywhere else, it's a negotiation. We know that from Lake Vermilion. We even negotiated the price on that one beyond what our statutes do. So you're asking now that these costs be assessed, where I'm not sure that was anywhere else in law. And I think Representative Dill pointed out some of the problems too with this as it sits, because there could be multiple bidders, multiple people at an auction. I don't think this is the right way to put this into law at this point in time.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Junkie, as I said when I introduced it, that, as Representative Hill also said, some work on this, but this is previously when these damages were there and this was assessed, there was no negotiation. There was no awareness of the potential dollar amount. There was no negotiation. And so this is a constituent issue that is was brought to my attention, and this is just some initial language to try and deal with it. I think that you're exactly right. Working on this a little bit more is the intention, but that this amendment would go on and then we would continue to work together to make this better before it got to the floor.
Representative Junkie.
Well, and again, you're right. This isn't right. I don't know where it came from. And again, I see DNRs at the table. I really don't. Doesn't matter if they're there or not, because this should be stated that it is negotiable and it's not just assessed to someone. Everything's negotiable in a real estate world. So,
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you. I would agree with you, Representative Junkie. And just to let you know, this particular amendment was done by Ms. Taylor. So it's not something that I just came up with on my own, but I think on a more short notice in a very busy time, it was a best effort at this time.
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not finding it here, so maybe these two items were in an earlier draft. The exemption of the Hill Annex State Park from protective provisions for places on the National Register of Historic Places in order to allow mining.
We're on the amendment.
We're on the amendment right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we just voted.
We're on the A9 amendment.
I just drifted off from it.
Any further discussion on the A9 amendment?
Mr. Chair, it's just a technical thing. It seems like this amendment is drafted to an earlier version, so it's not placed quite right, or maybe I'm being too worried about that. But I think it should, on 1.2, it should be, instead of page 3 after line 3 insert, it should be page 2 after line 32 insert. Maybe this is the second committee engrossment.
Take a look at it. Representative Dill?
That looks right. Not my amendment, but that looks like it's not in the right spot.
Mr. Chairman, if that is the correct place that it should go, I would adjust my amendment accordingly.
All right. Can you see where it would go?
And thank you for your assistance.
All right. It ought to go on page 2 then after line 32. So cross out on line 1.2 the 3 after page, the 3 after line, and insert after page 2 and after line 32. Any further discussion on this?
Yeah.
Representative Carlson.
Could we maybe hear a quick comment or two from DNR about the amendment?
Could you identify yourself with the committee and
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, Kathy Lewis, Lands and Minerals Division, DNR. Currently with public sales, we do provide notice in the terms and conditions that the buyer is liable for damages if they do not proceed with the sale. We have public auctions. They bid on the auction. They're liable to be responsible for complying with the sale. In the case, we don't have them very often. We've had two in the last 10 years where the buyer did not want to proceed with the sale. The last one we had, which was this last year, we did talk to the buyer and we negotiated out the provisions that we would not charge them for our advertising costs or staff costs, any other survey costs. We were just going to limit the damages to the appraisal cost in that case. So we did do some negotiations with the party on the cost.
Any further discussion on the A9 amendment? Representative Murphy.
Ms. Lewis, Mr. Chair, Ms. Lewis, then are you saying that the amendment is not necessary because your practice already does what the amendment is asking to do?
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy. We're quite willing to provide more obvious notice that they are liable for damages. It would vary by property depending, as Representative Dill said, if you have a second highest buyer, you have damages. You would also have a variance in some situations about whether your appraisal needs to be done or not. So if you do this kind of language, you need to have some flexibility left in the process. You don't want to say all of these costs have to be assessed for damages, because we do try to be flexible with people who incur problems. But on the other hand, we have to represent the state's interest so that if somebody says they're going to buy property, they need to be acting seriously when they do take that action.
Representative Murphy.
So, Mr. Chairman, Ms. Lewis, then are you saying that the amendment needs work or the amendment isn't needed?
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, we can live with the amendment, but it needs a little work before we finish up the bill.
Any further discussion on the A9 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
No.
The motion fails.
Division.
All right. Division has been called. All those in favor of the amendment, to indicate by raising your hand. Thank you. All those opposed?
Good ears.
Thank you. The motion, the amendment fails 10 to 6. Any further discussion of the bill? Representative Hausman.
The other one, too. Okay. I think both of the questions I had, I'm told, were taken out. Never mind.
Representative Coles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dill, how much land are you directing the DNR to sell in this bill?
Representative Dill.
In the entire bill?
Yes.
I don't know. Are you talking about in dollars or in acres or?
Are you requiring the DNR to sell land in this bill, Representative Dill? Mr. Chair.
Representative Dill.
I'm sorry. Didn't
are you requiring the DNR to sell state lands?
The DNR, these lands are.
Where are they?
This is permissive language, as I understand it, that enables land to be sold.
Representative Coles.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, how much land are we enabling the DNR to purchase under this bill?
Representative Dill.
There are no purchases in the bill.
Representative Coles.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, how about acquisitions? If we're not purchasing, are they acquiring in some other way? Representative Dill, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, what's the net effect of this bill? Is the state going to be owning more land, less land, or don't we know?
Representative Dill.
Well, I think I'm going to have Ms. Lewis come up and answer that question specifically.
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, members, the bill has the DNR being able, if it's permissive, sell 25 parcels totaling 592 acres. We aren't, the only acquisition issue here that was in the bill was one that was added by Representative Deal concerning Lake County, and that is a option for the DNR to either do an exchange or acquisition of a parcel in connection with the Split Rock Lighthouse State Park area. And that was the, asked for by the county, Lake County. And the Vermilion State Park provision was taken out of the bill at the, one of the prior hearings.
And Mr. Chairman?
Representative Deal.
In the instance of the Lake County piece, that would be very likely an acre-for-acre type, say, purchase and exchange, deeding it over to the county. So, I mean, it would be not a net, there wouldn't be a net increase in public holdings by the state.
Representative Bowles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment, Representative Dill. You know, in light of the challenges we're facing as a state from a fiscal perspective, it just seemed to me that, you know, additional land sales would be a place we'd be looking to generate some revenues. I think, you know, I know you have challenges up in northern Minnesota in particular with the amount of land owned by the state of Minnesota, and I think it's unfortunate that we're not doing a little bit more in that regard. Thank you.
Representative Paymar.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative Dill, without, I don't have the statute book, so section 94.34, on page 3, section 5, why don't I just say that? What is that section of statute, and what are we doing with the boundary waters? Just the land and the boundary waters. Section 5, subdivision, yep. 7, page 3. I just don't have the statute book with me. And
the county is making an exchange of lands that they own for lands, making a trade with the federal government for lands that they own in the boundary waters for lands that the federal government owns outside of the boundary waters. The lands inside the boundary waters are riparian, so it requires, in order to make that trade, it requires an authorization from the legislature to divest lands that are riparian. Like any time that we have riparian lands, we have to make that. And so this is something that the federal government has agreed on with the county. The county has agreed on with the federal government. And now the net result of this more global exchange in Lake, I believe it's in Lake County, will be that all of the land that the county now owns that's in the boundary waters will now be owned outside the boundary waters, and all of the land that the feds, or the land that the feds are exchanging, will now be totally within the boundary waters. So what we're doing is we're getting the county ownership of land, much like the school trust land, out of the boundary waters and letting the federal government have that land for themselves. So this is perceived to be a very good thing.
So, Mr. Chair, just to clarify, so the land within the boundary waters will not change.
It will only change ownership, and it will be owned now by the federal government rather than the county.
It's for the Viking Stadium.
Representative Rufavina.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, maybe Mr. Myers, if he's in the audience, could come up and so I can ask something. Go. Because there's, again, I just can't believe it.
Representative Carlson, is he around here?
Yeah.
Representative Carlson, after this whole discussion about school trust land and abuse, let's talk about this little section 13 on page 8.
Page 8.
That evidently just went in the bill. Representative Mr. Myers, do you want to tell us how the school trust is going to make money off of this aquatic management area designation?
Representative Myers.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rucavina, this was actually a provision that Representative Purcell's added in the bill in Representative Wagenius's committee. This wasn't a DNR provision.
Do you want to tell us how the school trust is going to make money off of this?
Mr. Chair, members, again, this was not a DNR provision. The language here you'll see on 8.27 to 8.29 says the commissioner shall allow revenue generating activities consistent with 127.8.31.
And what revenue generating activities will we have in an aquatic management area designation on a little lake that's next to a couple people that don't want anybody else to build on it? Where are we going to generate revenue there? And what is the value and how much Lakeshore footage are we talking about? What is the actual value of those two parcels?
Mr. Mayor. Chair, Representative Rukavina, I suggest you talk to Representative Purcells about that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Purcells isn't supposed to manage the school trust lands. The DNR is. And Commissioner Holston just screamed at me today about me questioning the DNR's management of the land. So where's Representative, where's the same statute Representative Purcell manages the school trust?
Mr. Meyer. Chair, members, this is a classic example of the challenges that the department faces when we're pressed to manage school trust lands. We have to manage it within the statutory boundaries that the legislature presents us with. So Chapter 127.8.31, it says we have to manage those lands with sound environmental practices and principles and according to other state laws. So we also have, for example, the Sustainable Forest Management Act, which sets in guidelines for riparian harvesting zones, all sorts of sustainable practices, which prohibit the clear-cutting of school trust lands. I mean, we have certain standards that we have to abide by. We try to manage the lands for the highest and best use we can, looking for those activities where we can, consolidating lands. There's 50,000 acres that the legislature determined to be school trust lands that are swamp, peatlands, in the peatland SNAs. It's school trust land, but it's we need to look at not only the activities that the legislature, that the DNR is doing, but also the laws and regulations that are on the books and the activities of the legislature that place school trust management.
Chair,
Mr. Rukavina.
Mr. Meyer, so then does the DNR support Representative Dietrich's attempt to get some independent person, whether it's a trust manager or, in the case of the Great Compromise that I've heard about now, the Legislative Coordinating Commission, to look at these kind of abuses?
Mr. Chair, members, our position is to work with the newly empowered Permanent School Trust Fund Advisory Committee, which has a lot more members. Many of the members around this table are on that committee, and to work with that committee to come up with recommendations and to review the activities of the state.
Representative Rukavina.
The DNR supports Representative Dietrich's attempt to have an independent trust or an independent committee around here to look at that.
Mr. Chair, members, that will be a decision the legislature has to make.
We don't.
Representative Rukavina.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Paymar, this is a perfect example of probably who knows what the value of these lakeshore lots are. But to take them out of the value and just make it an aquatic management area designation law is abuse of school kids. Because the Constitution says we're supposed to manage that to raise money for education. Not have an aquatic management area on two little lots that's probably doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And I can understand Representative Purcell wanting to do it. You know, I tried to last year put a road, and I can't believe you're saying this, Representative Paymar. You deserve a good rear end shoeing right here and right now. Because last year when I tried to put a road that for 11 years was trying to, people were trying to get to their point. The DNR, by the way, didn't meet what we put in statute. I said June 30th. They totally ignored the law. They totally ignored it. We just got it done now about a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, because they knew I'd be sitting here in this committee again. But they totally ignored the law. And then they went and tried to get a reverse referendum, which was totally unnecessary. That was just to put in a road. But boy, they wanted to get that money for the school trust. And you did too. You sat here, what's Rukavina trying to do now? I was just trying to get a road for people to get to their land, which you do the same, and you do the same. Purcell, you know, is putting aside two parcels of school trust land so his constituents don't have to have a neighbor. None of the constituents buy the land. That's what you make my constituents do. Buy the land. Put it up for sale in an auction. We had to walk through metal detectors, Representative Hausman, when we had to have an auction for school trust land. People lost them. So, you know, that's all I'm trying to bring to your attention around here. There's absolute abuse by the Department of Natural Resources and probably some of us.
Mr. Chair, the department had nothing to do with this amendment. So that statement is incorrect.
Okay. Representative Wagenius.
Mr. Chair, when I offer amendments to this land bill, Mr. Myers always comes up and opposes most of my amendments. Mr. Myers, did you oppose this amendment committee today?
Mr. Chair, Myers. Representative Rucavino, we raised the questions and the concerns about being trust fund land.
Did you oppose it?
We didn't take a position, Mr. Chair.
Take position on some of my stuff?
Right. Maybe we can...
So don't sit here and pontificate to me about how you didn't oppose it or you didn't support it, because I know you stood here last year and told everybody that what I was trying to do was wrong, and then you went to the conference committee and put that reverse easement on it, which totally held it up and disobeyed the law on June 30th to get the road in, and said that you had added an amendment saying that the law was that you had to have a reverse referendum, but the law also said you were supposed to have the road in by June 30th. When did the deal get cut, Mr. Myers?
That's...
On school trust land. Well, I mean, this is fun.
I know, but I think many would like to move on, and I'm going to call on Representative Wagenius.
Mr. Chair, I'm just making the point here. You know,
right.
Here's the point that I've been trying to make for 24 years, Representative Carlson, and that Representative Dietrich is trying to make around here this year, where we can get money for education without having to raise anyone's taxes at all. And the opposition we meet, and Representative Paymar and Representative Houseman and Representative Wagenius think that we're up to some shenanigans, and we're not. We're trying to obey what the law is.
Okay. Representative Wagenius, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair.
It's late.
Representative Rucavina.
Could you use the microphone, though? Thank you.
You know, this is not the time to have this discussion. It's late. But it is very unfair to negate the work that we've done this year on school trusts. We've actually moved forward. The reason anybody knows about this land is because I talked about it in committee and said to DNR, you've got to work with us and get some money off of this land. We brought it up. We talked about it. So it painting with such a broad brush is probably not a good idea.
Any other discussion on this particular bill?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Rucavina.
Representative Wagenius, how does the DNR generate revenue off of two little parcels on a lake that's probably worth a lot of money if you sold it, but unsold and being put as an aquatic management area? How does it generate money?
Representative Wagenius.
Well, Representative Purcell said they were doing some logging on it, but I can't attest to that myself because I have not seen it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rucavina.
How many acres are these two parcels? Ms. Lewis? Are there six trees on either one of them?
Mineral.
All right. All right.
It's absolutely sad is what the situation is.
All right. We have another bill. Representative Dill, do you have any further discussion on your bill as amended?
I'm just waiting for another chapter to unfold. Ready to finish off the bill here and move it on.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, I renew Representative Wagenius's motion to move House File 3051 as amended to the second committee engrossment to be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Motion. Thank you.
Amendment adopted. Bill adopted. All right, we have one more, House File 3786, Jackson bill. There's Representative Jackson. I'll move House File 3786 be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. Do I need to vote on that one? Yeah. Why don't you present your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have an amendment, the A2 amendment, and I would ask first of that be moved to get this bill into the shape that I'd like it, and I can certainly speak to the amendment.
Okay, I will move the A2 amendment. It's H3786A2. Would you like to describe the amendment?
Yes, I would. The most important thing when you look at this amendment is not to be thrown off by the reference to child support. The main bill I'm discussing today and this amendment both deal with Title II real estate. And the reason to tack the child support judgment on is because normally judgments last for 10 years if they are not renewed. Searches that title companies and attorneys do in order to issue title insurance and give guarantees to buyers that they have good title and lenders, that they have secure mortgages, are these judgment searches. Right
this
now,
is all on the A2 amendment
this
now?
This is on the A2 okay. amendment. Right now, there is no means by which court administrators can differentiate between a judgment in favor of the county for something else and a child support judgment. The way they computerize the system, there simply isn't any way to do it. What we've done, therefore, is just push the effective date back to give some time to fix this, because it will upend real estate transaction law, and I'm sure it was unintended. And because it deals with title to real estate, I'm asking that this bill dealing with private transfer fees be amended to also include this cleanup of the title, another title issue.
Any discussion on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Amendment adopted. Now we'll go to the bill itself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill would create a prohibition on private transfer fees. A private transfer fee is a brand new animal. And for those who don't understand what covenants are, when a developer takes a bit of raw land and plats it out and does improvements, yep. It's very common for the developer to put in place restrictive covenants. It can be anything from limiting the color you paint your house to the size of the building or whether or not you can have kennels. They are designed to have sort of a uniform appearance, protect the value of the development within it, and covenants historically have always been about the use of the property. Now, though, we have a brand new animal where the covenants include the imposition of a private transfer fee to the original developer, and the private transfer fee will be for all future sales. They can be up to a century, literally 99 years of future sales, well past the time that the developer has sold. But this percentage, they're usually based on a percentage, normally 0.5 to as much as just under 2%, back to the original developer. There has been little uniformity and a lot of questions about notice, about how on earth, even if you wanted to pay your, you know, half a percent to 2%, and it's 30 years after the fact, who you'd even pay it to. What's worse is that this future stream of speculative income is being sold as a securitized instrument. And if that sounds like subprime mortgages, it is. It's exactly what we have here. The good news is that we saw it coming. There's only evidence of one of these being filed in Minnesota and Carver County. States like Texas, that has recently put a prohibition on in California, are having lots of problems. There are 43 states now where these have popped up. On board in opposition to this private transfer fee are the real estate attorneys, the title companies, our building, our association of builders, and the realtors. We're sort of all on board being fairly horrified at this because we see it as really getting in the way of the ability to transfer property. There's an unjust enrichment act. And an additional cost. Those who support it, I've read in their papers that they say it'll keep the cost down, but I don't know how on earth you can add a percentage fee to all future transfers for 100 years and say that's going to lower the cost. I have with me Christine Berger of Minnesota Realtors, and she can speak more to her organization's support of my bill.
All right, we will if there are questions directed to her, but we don't usually take testimony, I believe. Any discussion? Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I want to thank Representative Jackson for bringing this forward. I'm just amazed that somebody dreamed this up.
I'm just amazed that somebody dreamed up this vehicle. I mean, is there no end to the kind of incredible ripoff that can be devised, I guess? Anyway, thank you for bringing the bill, and I hope we pass it.
Representative Clark, they're even trying to patent this new method of making money.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Clark.
Who has jurisdiction, Representative Jackson, over this sort of, is this a Commerce Department jurisdiction? Who has
Representative Jackson.
Well, because it pertains to title to real estate, it's arguably a civil justice issue. We did have an informational meeting, but we took last night, and we took a straw vote, and there was unanimous support for it. What we're trying to do, though, is fast track it through because these are popping up so quickly, and we'd like to head this off at the pass before they spread. And so this came up quickly. We'd like to deal with it quickly because once it starts happening, it's a little bit like a wildfire. Yeah. And all the groups that deal with real estate transfers would like it stopped before we see too much of it.
Representative Clark.
Thank you. I only wish the Housing Committee had a chance to hear it. We don't need to hear it. I'm glad to support moving it on through, but it just is an incredible situation. I'm glad you're working on it.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious as to how this was discovered. It seems like this might be a rather difficult thing to know about until sometimes the second sale, you know, which could be latent for many, many years. So how was this even discovered? Maybe the realtor can speak to that.
Hi, will you introduce yourself for the committee, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Christine Berger, and I represent the Minnesota Association of Realtors. We just found out about this issue through an ARELO convention. ARELO is a convention that where real estate regulators, such as the Department of Commerce, they attend this type of convention, and real estate attorneys around the nation. And apparently this is happening like wildfire in California, Florida, Texas, and so reports from those states came in, and then our attorneys and commerce people came back and told us about this instance, and so we moved into action. Yes.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That answers my question. It is really quite amazing, but I'm sure this is the sort of thing that our sensitivity to these things now are more heightened. I could see this sort of thing maybe in years past could maybe have snuck on through. But I think the heightened sensitivity to this sort of thing, especially when they start bundling them and secure, just amazing. Anyway, thank you.
Representative Schimansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Jackson or Ms. Berger, Section 3 of the bill, page 3, liability for violation, talks about a person who records the files or enters into an agreement is basically liable for damages there. Are we talking about title agents or attorneys or county recorders? Who are we talking about bearing that liability?
Representative Jackson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Schimansky, you will notice that the very last sentence there from 3.22 to 3.24 clarifies that an agent acting on behalf of a principal to record or file does not have the liability, and so we don't have to worry about, you know, if I, for instance, am working for a developer and I walk it down, I am the agent. If I send my secretary, she is the agent. The folks working at the courthouse are the agents. And so that's why we made that clarification, because the principal would be actually the developer who is in whose favor this covenant is filed.
Representative Schimansky. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then I renew my motion.
Oh, we do have one.
Sorry, I can't believe Simon. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can't believe I'm saying this, and I don't mean to be an old school marm or anything like that, but I noticed that the word in the amendment that we already put on, the word judgment is misspelled. I know.
Not
it's late.
It is.
It doesn't have an E. And I only remember that because I remember, like, first week of law school, a professor saying one of the most commonly misspelled words in the law is judgment. Mm-hmm. No E. Still rings in my ears, Mr. Chair.
All right.
And four times.
Representative Carlson, can
four
I...
Four times in the amendment.
Can we simply delete the letter E or ask
the first
staff to delete the word letter E four times? Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then I renew my motion that House File 3786 as amended be recommended to pass and placed on the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee.
Thank you so much.
Committee is adjourned.